CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. That's the way we do our hellos. What's that?
Play the theme. Play the bumper.
Of course I'm playing the theme. I do this live every morning, didn't you know? I'm a one of those people. You remember they have those one-man band? Those people who like had the drums and they had a keyboard in front and they'd play the guitar. They had like a whole lot of shit in the back, a harmonica hanging from the front. Like, that's me. That's what I do. That's how it works.
What is that thing called? That's like, you don't know, it looks like a spring.
And then the accordion.
Mm-hmm.
Accordion, that's it.
An accordion.
Morning, guys.
Morning. We've got Lebang, we've got Bakabantu, we've got Gareth, we've got you. That's all we need to make a good show. Yes, indeed. Sanele says, good morning, cretins. That's exactly what we are, cretins. That's what we do.
You see right through us.
Yep. There's no point in bullshitting you. Come on, bullshit a bullshitter. All right. Here we are, live, ready to go. So, Elon Musk owns the whole of Twitter.
Yay!
He finally got the war to...
I don't know what I'm celebrating. It just, you know, I hope that it means, like, good things are coming for Twitter because I spend quite a bit of time there, so...
Yeah, I mean...
What are good... Like, in the definition of Twitter, what would be a good thing? An edit button?
No. Definitely not. That's the first thing I would be so mad if there was an edit button, because then what's the point, right?
Well,
just like a stronger verification process, number one. Like, there's too many robots, there's too many non-humans on there. You know, hate speech, something to be done about that, like for real. You know, like, that guy's rich, man. He can get a lot of things done. So I'm hoping that whatever they come up with there,
but he's against
going to make for a better experience.
Like, hate speech is kind of freedom of speech. So he's going for like free platform. Like, anyone can say whatever they want.
Yeah, he's stifling. He's like, figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, Lebang does have it right when she said that he's not going to have the robots and the algorithms working in the background, you know?
Yeah.
So that probably will work out well. I don't know. I mean, I think let's just see what it looks like. Clearly, Twitter has soured, and I don't think anybody on earth goes, oh, we're loving Twitter the way that we used to love it 10 years ago. Because I do think there was a time where it was fun. And then somehow it became hugely political. And then Twitter made a couple of really obviously stupid mistakes. Like, they would ban certain kinds of speech and not others. They would be very political about certain things and not others. You could get thrown off if you did this, but you'd be perfectly able to do whatever you wanted if you said that. And it seemed like there was manipulation going on in the background. Artificial stuff is happening, and nobody likes that. Everybody wants to know what we're doing here is legit. It's above the board now he is the board. So I think he's probably going to get rid of a whole lot of these, 22-year-old hall monitors. You know, like when you were at school, there were those, they weren't really prefects, but they were hall monitors.
Not prefects.
Why are you outside of class during class? You should be in class. Meanwhile, you're like, I have to take this to the office. Meanwhile, you're actually like getting outside.
Where's your permission slip?
Yeah. That's what those people are, and I hope he fires them, and I hope he gets rid of. I don't think he's going to make that many changes, by the way. I don't think he is.
I think it's just going to look the same.
Yeah, it's going to look and feel pretty much the same, but slowly you'll see, you know, certain kinds of things being put back on the agenda, and that's good. If it goes this way, then it's going to eventually have to go that way.
Yeah, definitely over time we'll see some things happening, but like, it won't have immediate effect. It's just an exciting time. I mean, Gareth, when you speak about how Twitter used to be, 2011 Twitter was perfection.
It was so much
fun. It was just like relaxing. It was peace. The word toxic didn't even exist. Mm-mm. And then it's almost like as it grew and they let more and more people in, to this day, I still believe a lot of people don't know how to use Twitter. They don't know what they're doing there on that app. They're just talking shit. You know, they're using it wrong, basically.
I mean, here's Tracy, for example. Tracy's like, I got suspended from Twitter for 3 days just for replying to a Cliff Central post that asked, what was the biggest COVID lie or conspiracy? I kid you not. Now, you look at let's look back at just COVID. Let's just say COVID.
Yeah.
Like all the weird things that you could not say on Twitter because you were a COVID conspiracy theorist. You know, like let's say just that you thought lockdowns were a terrible idea. If you said that anywhere in the last, I don't know, 2.5 years and up to maybe 6 months ago, you were pretty much in the dog box. You'd be thrown out.
Yeah. Keep that to yourself. Mm-hmm.
And I think you said this, Bhagavantu, last week. You said the biggest mistake they made and what really revealed that they had an agenda was when they suspended Donald Trump. But they kept they kept crazy terrorists in the Middle East who'd actually killed like hundreds of people. They kept them on. They kept the Ayatollah of Iran. They kept like the leader of Hezbollah. They kept like actual serial killers were allowed to keep their.
I thought you were going to say they kept actual Cyril.
And well, I mean Cyril too. But it became like so obvious to everybody that there was something going on in the background. And you know, Twitter is important. I'll tell you why. And I lost interest and I got off of there. And that's no surprise to anyone who listens to this show. Because it became hugely politically biased. And it just became this echo chamber for a whole lot of blue tick people who didn't allow people who didn't agree with them to have their say. And the hall monitors that I was talking about just now seemed to have only operated in one direction. So I just decided this is not somewhere I want to be. And news was allowed as long as it was news that supported a certain agenda.
Narrative.
If it wasn't
a narrative.
Exactly. If it wasn't that kind of news, sorry, you hate speech. And remember, words are that whole words are violence crowd. That crowd. People took them seriously.
Though. That's like, when they flourish.
Those people. So like Elon Musk says, and I think everybody who says, oh, well, nothing is going to change. They don't understand that he's not doing this because he thinks he can make Twitter hugely profitable. It's never been profitable.
Yeah. It's never been profitable, yeah.
He's doing this. You know how people talk about philanthropy? They go, oh, well, so Bill Gates has given all this money for malaria to be defeated in Africa. Or, you know, they bought mosquito nets with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation money. And then there's this person who's like helping with the floods in KZN or whatever. That's philanthropy. But another part of philanthropy is allowing those values which make a society open and free and liberal, those values need to be protected. And since Twitter is the most powerful medium on earth for news and information and opinion, it needs to be free. Here's a guy who's got money, more money than God, all right, because he is the richest man on earth ever.
From Pretoria, don't leave that out.
From Pretoria. And he's gone into the world and he's realized, hang on, these are a few things that if you want to run a business or you want to be a successful person or you want to be able to live in optimal conditions, then freedom of speech is essential to that. Yeah. And let's see what happens. Because obviously the jury's still out, but I think he's made a move in the right direction here. And I think there are lots and lots of people who will rejoin Twitter. And there are probably a few who will get really upset and who will like storm off in a huff. And they're probably
saying, he's going to unban Trump.
I don't know. I think that's such a, like that's going to be such a polarizing move because
it is.
You see,
and too soon.
There's this thing that like Trump just became everybody's the embodiment of so many people's horrible bully. He became in their heads for a whole half of the American population and probably millions of people all over the world. Donald Trump became the picture of what those people hated about their childhood or what they didn't like about school or what they didn't like about business or what they didn't like about. And he became this projection for so many people. And listen, a lot of those people have very messed up lives and it's not really Trump's fault, but they turned him into their private boogeyman. So by putting him back on, he's just going to give them a reason to keep bitching and moaning and having a hissy fit, which could be very funny, But I don't know. I don't think he's going to hurry to do it. I must be honest with you. I think he's going to take a little bit of time and massage it in.
There's always unintended consequences to philanthropy. You mentioned Bill and the Melinda Gates Foundation buying mosquito nets for sub-Saharan Africa. You know, like people got sick from those mosquito nets because so they just gave these people mosquito nets and they didn't teach them how to use them, or people found ulterior motives or ulterior means to use them. So they started using them to fish.
Yeah.
They caught a bunch of fish, poisoned the water source, poisoned the fish, and it got like really bad. And then, obviously, Bill Gates is trying to kill Africans. Yeah, this was huge. I think, I don't know my African countries, but like sub-Saharan Africa. So, yeah. But people got sick from those Bill Gates nets, and people were like, Bill Gates is poisoning Africans. I thought you were fact checking me.
No, I'm not fact checking you.
unintended consequences of philanthropy.
But you know what they say, right? They say there's that no good deed goes unpunished.
Goes unpunished.
And it's amazing how you do something good, but then you're going to get shat on because you didn't do enough good things, or you didn't do the good things that these people wanted,
or you did one you did good thing in KZN but not in Cape Town, or you did it for a specific race but not this race, or you should have done it earlier.
Anyway, so
Congo
Chris says, I'm just excited for all the Elon Twitter memes. I've already made 3. Oh yeah, those are happening. There's some hilarious ones going around.
I like what Tracy's saying. Saying how some people, you know, will obviously move over to whatever alternative platform there is. Remember that time when Telegram, or was it WhatsApp, was scaring us and saying, look, we're going to release all your information. Everyone's like, we're going to Telegram for 2 minutes. And then everybody just went.
You realize no one has Telegram.
Right.
And you're like, am I the only one here? Okay, cool.
It did feel like you're the only one there. You're like, just crickets. There was no one around.
Yeah. And the people that are on there, it's like you don't even really know these people. So it's like, this person, I still have their number. Shit. Now to start a conversation. Double shit. Okay, let me just leave. Yeah, no, didn't go well.
So, Lebang, you've got 10 weeks until the Bubba comes along.
I do. And that's on paper, by the way. So I'm at like my 30th week. So maybe you've got about 10 more weeks of baking left, but as per some of my previous pregnancies, it could be 6, it could be 7. And I realized that I'm actually very underprepared for this birth. Like, I don't have a hospital bag. I have like nothing ready. I'm just like kind of just floating and just like
winging it. But like, it's baby number 5. It's baby number 5, Lebang. I think if anyone can wing it, you can wing it.
Sure, but by now, I shouldn't be winging it, right? By now, I should have all my shit together. I should know what to do and what not to do. And like, the only thing I've got is like where I'm going to give birth. Like, my hospital's like, okay, cool, sharp. Now I'm just like, what if tomorrow I go into labor? What am I going to do? So, yeah, but it's all
so
good.
Need? I mean, like, what are the basics that you have to have in place for all of this to go well?
I need to have a hospital bag because, as I'm saying, if like the baby decides today, then I must just be able to grab my bag, get in the car and get to the hospital. Inside that bag, I need like newborn clothes. I need like nighties for myself. I need like, you know, some things for the hospital, some bed stuff, blah, blah, blah. Just like things like birthing 101. And if I don't have those things, I'm going to like struggle when I get to the hospital because then it's going to be, hey, can someone please bring me this? Hey, the baby needs nappies. Like, hospitals don't really provide you with anything except for like, I guess, a bed, you know? So you have to make sure that you've got everything on lock. I haven't done a pregnancy shoot. I haven't done a reveal. I'm literally just living my life, guys.
You haven't done your pregnancy shoot. Oh, how are we going to survive?
such a tragedy.
Oh, Levan, what are we going to do?
I know, pregnancy but shoot. I'm just like rolling. I know. Oh, the people deserve it. But it's been cool, man. I didn't realize how soon it was. Like, it felt like I just fell pregnant yesterday.
Mm.
Now it's like, I was looking at my app. It's like week 30. I'm like, what the fuck? When? So I just need to get, you know.
Here's Tracy with prepped. Tracy says, get a birth photographer. I can hook you up with a registered photographer in Pretoria.
See, Tracy, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so a birth photographer, is he in the theater? Like,
Yeah.
Like, well,
you know, this probably. So this is what Tracy does. I remember her mentioning this once in the comments. So she does this for a living. And I got to be honest with you. Like, I don't know if you need cameras to actually document the moment of birth. Like, I wouldn't want, I'd never want to see my own birth, if you know what I mean. And I don't think I'd ever want to see anyone else's birth. And I don't think,
oh, that's me.
And I don't think it's the kind of thing that anyone goes, oh, just before you go, guys, I know you came here for tea, but let me just show you the video of my child emerging from my wife's vagina. Just hold on 1 second. I'm going to just set up the projector quickly. Are you ready?
I don't know if it's that dramatic, but there's definitely moments that you would love to be captured. I know, like, immediately after you have the baby,
yeah, sure,
and the baby's like on the chest. Mm. I wish I had someone to just quickly just.
No, that's, you know, that's different. But I'm talking about like the actual moment of birth. I'm not
yet. I don't know if they do that.
The doctor's like, one last push, and then it's like.
Sounds like a studio.
Jeez. We don't need that. Yeah. All right. So a couple of things this morning. We've got Carolyn Stain coming on a little bit later on. We've spoken to Carolyn before. She also just recently received an award, which I want to talk to her about. But today we're going to talk about her gigantic Rainbow Nation blanket of hope. And if there's anything about Carolyn that you know, it is that she started 67 blankets, and that has grown and grown and grown in immaculate and incredible ways. And they've done so much good work. And she's going to tell us what their next project is, because there's always something new in the works. We've also got to speak to a guy called Dr. Reza Mia. And remember we had Reza on before, because he's a really interesting chap. He's also a renowned medical doctor, but he's doing this incredible thing. He's an aeronautics scholar, and he's made it his mission to innovate in aerospace and transport. And we had him on the show ages ago, but he has decided to build and own a business jet that's unique, the Pegasus Vertical Business Jet. And it's going to take to the skies in the new Hollywood movie called The Lost City. So this is amazing. It's actually, the prototype is featured in the trailer for The Lost City and in the movie. So it's really, really cool. We're going to find out all about that from Dr. Reza Mia, who's no stranger to everybody who listens to the show. And we've got lots of other good stuff happening through the course this morning. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. What's happening with you, Bhagavantu? Are you also 10 weeks out from your pregnancy?
No. I forgot to reveal. I'm having a girl. I'm going to hibernate for winter. What's new in my life?
I'm looking forward to hibernating. Listen to me. I sound like Marco Flex. I'm looking forward to hibernating for winter. Now, I'm also looking forward to doing nothing for winter, because there are only a few things. I said this last year. There are a few things that make winter really cool. And Lebang, I don't know whether it's better to have a kid in summer or in winter. Something tells me winter's better.
I guess so.
Does it make a difference?
Sure. I don't think so. No.
Like for the baby or for
you're
the mom?
You're still definitely pushing a child out of your home vagina. So it doesn't matter if it's cold, hot, or it's happening. That's all. The end. There's really no difference.
Okay. I was just wondering, because if it's really, really hot, it can be super annoying to be, you know, very pregnant in like December and January. And I have no experience of this, but I'm just guessing.
Yeah. That's not a weather thing. It's already super annoying to be pregnant in general.
You don't really care about that.
Yeah. Uh-uh. But maybe there's like some scientific thing generally.
All right. Well, like what I like, three things about winter. There's only three things. If you're in a relationship, it's nice to like have someone in the bed with you. If you're in a relationship, which I'm not at the moment, so that one doesn't count, right? Second thing, fires, actual fires. Outside, inside, wherever you might be, if you have a fireplace in your house, or if you go to like a lot of winter things, there are always fires there. And, you know, it's like, it's just that feeling of, I don't know, there's something very primal about a fire, and human beings love it. So we like a fire. So that's one thing about winter that makes it quite cool and cozy and exciting. And the other thing is for me, soup, which is, it's pretty much, that is almost every every third meal, I'd say, is soup in winter. And it's easy.
And stews.
And you start you make a soup on the Monday, and you know, you can keep having soup until
Thursday, Friday. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's nice. There is one other thing that some people say, although it's not a big deal to me. A lot of girls love winter because they love dressing up in winter clothes. They've got the layers.
Yeah, I was going to say winter clothes. Oh, it has to be.
A lot of people like the, you know, the heavier, the warmer, the wintery stuff. I don't care about that at all. I'm not interested in dressing up in summer or in winter. So
those fluffy blankets. Oh, guys, there's nothing cooler than a fluffy blanket.
The blankets.
Or a fleece.
You know what? They make such awesome blankets now. That feel almost like they're fur, but they obviously, you know, it's fake fur, but it feels so nice. And those, when you get under those things in front of the TV on a really chilly afternoon, and you don't have to think about work, your work's done for the week. Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, right? No, it's just a great excuse to not have to leave the house. Like, we're not tempted to go out and, you know, get sun-kissed and have cocktails by the bar. No, we're actually just staying indoors. The end. That's like the big win for winter for me anyway, because like as soon as spring comes, people just start to go crazy and they lose their minds.
Well, no, but you get those people about those people like summer bodies are made in winter, so like they're hitting the gym now. Gym season.
Good for them.
I've got to get back in the gym. So for the last 2 weeks I've been feeling a bit sick, and I decided I'm not going to take a chance and go to gym, but I think today or tomorrow is D-Day. I've got to get back in there. That's what I want to do.
So that's for you, buddy.
It's on the agenda.
Do you have a boop? Do you have a proper boop?
I'm feeling a bit like, you know, when you haven't done any exercise for 2 weeks. Gets to you.
You just feel fat.
You just feel useless, dude. You feel useless. Tracy says water births are lovely until someone has to clean it. Think about it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wanted a water birth so badly. Like, I begged them, but I'm too high risk. So I just can't. But that's like the ideal birthing environment, right? Just like chilling in a big ass bath, like some warm water, you know, you're just floating about, have your favorite music playing in the background, people are holding your hands, and then you just like push 3 times, and then boom, this baby pops out. That is like the ideal birthing experience. And yes, whoever has to clean that up, hey. Job is a job.
You know what's the most disgusting thing ever? There's this thing called afterbirth, you give birth to the placenta. Do you know it?
How's that disgusting?
Do we know it? We're talking to Lebang. We're talking to Lebang, who's done this like 4 times with their eyes closed. Are you kidding? Do you know that? Do you know this?
I love the way experience.
Lebang, I love the way Bakabantu is like, have you heard about this?
No, but he knows. He knows quite well about this thing, B, you know, like it's not far off. So we all have our own experiences, right?
Mm-hmm. We all have our own experiences.
All right. Well, you kind of spoilt something this morning for Bakabantu. He was hoping for a big drum roll and everything else because you've done the gender reveal, right? Did you do a whole thing for gender reveal?
Gareth, I'm too tired. I don't have time for that. I don't think it's that important. Like, I just told the people who needed to know what gender my baby is. I mean, I walked into the office 2 weeks ago, like, hey, guys, I'm having a this. And they were like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? It's just casually mention it
because
in conversation.
I know people who turn it into a huge production. They make a massive fuss of it. It's a big deal. Oh, have you guys heard? And then there's a balloon that explodes, and if the pink comes out, it's a girl. If it's the blue, then it's a boy.
Good for them.
Or you go to your baker with a secret envelope. You give it to the baker, and then when you cut open the cake, it's
the cake, the color. I saw a really funny gender reveal video yesterday, and I don't know if it's funny or not, but it was two guys fighting. One was dressed in pink. They were wrestling, and the other one was dressed in blue. And whoever won that fight is ultimately the gender. It was so funny. Yo,
because towards the end, the dad comes in and hits the blue guy, and then the girl wins. Like, oh, it's a girl. I wanted a girl.
But people have come up with, I'll never forget, there was a story around this time last year, I think, in America, where they were so busy making this really intense, complicated gender reveal happen, that they set fire to
California,
the whole forest, and you know, for months, California was on fire because of this stupid gender reveal party. Mm-hmm. They actually, I think, they either sent those people to jail or they they fined them very heavily. I can't remember what happened. But, you know, these days, a gender reveal has become a really big event. And I know people who, they plan these parties with, oh, God, where the theme is blue and everything, the sweets on the table are blue, and everyone must wear blue. And please pay attention to my unborn kid's gender. It's so important to me. I'm so glad.
Let them
I'm
proud enjoy, of you,
Lebung.
Man.
I'm proud of you, Lebung. You're like, this is what's happening. So just do it so that everybody who is like Bakabantu and who's massively, you know, upset that you didn't make much more of a fuss about this, just give them all what they want. Here it is. Here's the fanfare. Let's go.
Okay, so my firstborn is a boy. Secondborn is a boy. Third is a girl. Fourth is a girl. And I am having a girl.
Lebung, are you wearing, pink glasses? Yes, was that the reveal?
That was the reveal. Yeah.
You got me.
He's saying,
yes. It's amazing. Yes. It's so important.
We've got another girl on the way.
Do you want to hear some headlines?
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, wait, Lebung, right. I thought you were going to say no. Like, no.
Well, you could. I mean, if you did say no, I wouldn't be upset with you. Let's look at what's happening in Durban and in KwaZulu-Natal. Sithole Zikalala, who's the premier of KwaZulu-Natal, said that the damage to PRASA-related infrastructure is estimated to be more than 940 million rand. Okay? He said, this is a demonstration of the ferocious nature of the floods that affected the province 2 weeks ago. He was providing an update on the KZN government's response to the impact on the disaster on Sunday afternoon. He said the province needs more than 1.9 billion rand to complete recovery required in affected parts of the province. Apparently, just this, just the trains and the trucks that get stuff at Durban Harbour has been such a massive undertaking that they have to get that back up and running ASAP. So he reckons that the costs in total 1.9 billion, but just the PRASA-related stuff, which is passenger rail. That alone.
And we know how PRASA is reliable with money.
Mm. Yeah, they've been very good with money before. I think I'm glad you brought that up, Bakabantu, because they're very, very diligent.
They're very good with money.
Yeah. We can totally trust them. If you give them 10 Rand, you always get to see exactly how that 10 Rand is spent.
Yeah.
And none
so
of
if,
it,
if PRASA
none of it
quotes us 900 and something, I think I give you 20 mil and I'm like, make it work.
Yeah.
Like, I give you 20 mil. I'm like, okay, no, just keep coming back.
Not exactly. All right, then. Graham Smith reacts to being cleared of racism allegations. I mean, you know, now you can try someone for being a racist. And I still want to know how that works, because how can you ever really tell? This is something that people allege. They're like, oh, that person's a racist. But then you can't really look inside their soul and tell whether they actually aren't or they actually are. Because these days we throw that allegation around, and you see it, especially in places like Twitter. You know, people are like, that one's a racist. That one's a racist.
But some people are so openly and loudly racist and proudly that they're not even hiding it.
I think I prefer those people that don't hide it. Answer your question,
those
Jared,
people are rare, though. It's hard to find a real, like, open racist these days. Can you?
If that person doesn't have black friends, guys, we know this. If you don't have black friends, you're racist.
What?
You must have at least
no.
Or be facetious.
No, it's like if you can't say the line, like, you know, I'm not a racist, but I have black friends. Yeah. Then you know.
See, there. Like, you're pretty for a black girl. You're borderline racist.
Okay,
you
but if you say to someone you're pretty for a black girl, obviously you're an ignorant, stupid idiot. But are you like a hardcore Avia Beer flag waving, like, I want to kill black people racist? Because there's degrees. This is the thing we've always
Look, there's definitely levels, but like, if places like Oranje still exist, Gareth, and like there's more of those kinds of places than we're told about, then, you know, we need to be open to the idea that there are many, many, many racists that are operating with us.
I think this is like a boogeyman. And also, like, are you really expecting everyone in the world to love you? If you're Chinese and everyone in the world doesn't love you, does that mean that we have a racist problem in the world against Chinese people? Or is it that Chinese people have to accept that not everybody loves them?
Sure.
That's a good question. Where do you draw the line between not liking someone and being racist?
There's a huge, difference. You know, there's you don't need to love me. You know that not everyone's going to dig you. But there's also a difference between that and, almost purposefully going out of your way to make this person's life miserable because you believe that you are the upper echelon for absolutely no reason.
But, let's take Orania, for example. They're not bothering me on a daily basis, so are they racist?
But if you were to go there, my nigga, you will not make it out.
I don't want to go to Orania.
No. I mean, if you want something, if you want something badly enough, you're going to find it. And I think there are a lot of people, there are people who thrive on not everybody loves me and therefore the world is a problem and it must be fixed. Rather than, so what? There are going to be some people who, I know that there are probably some black people who really think I'm a racist. You know, I've seen that on social media and I'm like, so fucking what? Not everybody likes me. Too bad. I don't go around saying you're a cliffist because you don't like me. You son of a bitch. Yeah, how dare you? Really... I'm going to make it through my day without everybody in every part of the world loving me. Please, you live like
it's
that.
It's obviously
you,
a lot more.
You're bound to be miserable. I mean, listen. Here's what Sinele says, and I think this is such an important point. The CSA, the Cricket South Africa proceedings, they were not public. I would really love to know how you vindicate racism. Well, that's the point, right? So let's go to the story. Former Cricket South Africa director of cricket Graham Smith said he was pleased with the independent arbitration outcome that cleared him of all racism charges brought about by the Social Justice and Nation Justice Building report. Independent arbitrators, advocates Nwako Manyeche and advocate Michael Bishop, cleared Smith on all charges of racial discrimination with costs. So, he says, I'm grateful that my name has finally been cleared. I've always given South African cricket my utmost as a player, administrator, even as a captain over the past 20 years. So to hear these baseless allegations of racism being made has made it extremely difficult, both for me and my family. It has been exhausting and distracting. Oh, Graham, it's so...
Oh, my gosh. Graham, no.
So exhausting when people call you names. Oh,
so tiring. Oh, man.
Oh, I feel for you, man.
Poor Graham. He's going through
words
so
hurt,
much.
Guys. Words hurt. Anyway,
listen, I mean, this is infuriating because it's become this thing like everybody in the world has to love everybody else in the world, even if they're pretending. Just do it on social media. Say on social media, Black Lives Matter, because otherwise you're a racist. You know what I mean? It's become like
if you're gonna say it, mean it, man.
But,
like,
but no, that's exactly what's not happening.
Like, mean it.
No. Because if you mean anything, people read their own shit into that anyway. You could mean the best thing in the world. You could be like, you know what? I fucking love people with orange hair. I love them. Right. I'm a huge fan of people. People go, why did he say that? I think it's because he hates the people with the blue hair. He hates them. That's why he said that about the people with the red hair. It's so dumb. Anyway, so that's happened. So good for him. There's the latest from Graham Smith. Do you want to hear some more?
Mm-hmm.
They've got high-tech fitness mirrors that are going to get people to exercise more. I kid you not.
Really? So,
That's what's going to make people fitter. And why a fitness mirror? Because people can't see enough of themselves in the year 2022. We just, the biggest problem we have, not enough mirrors. We need to see more of ourselves.
Aren't the mirrors not body positive if they're going to show me how fat I am?
Don't bring that up. You're going to upset a whole lot of people.
Say that out loud.
What's wrong with you, bugger?
If they hear
really?
You, you'll be cancelled, honey.
No. I mean, how can you say that? So here's the thing. Right. The whole story is that apparently these mirrors are going to help you to figure out what's going on and to do the right thing. These are 180 centimeters tall. They're high tech. They contain a computer. They hook up to the internet and they work as a video screen. The idea is that you connect to an online trainer who then appears on the mirror along with your reflection. It'll look something like this. The picture for those people who are watching on YouTube, you will have someone else demonstrating, oh, no, you haven't got your ass low enough. You need to put your ass a little bit lower. You need to go back or forward, or you need to lean more, or ooh, your back's not straight, or whatever. That's what's going to happen. And there'll be an actual person on it. So this is for very, very bored people who don't have enough. Yeah, and rich people, yeah. And people who don't really have enough attention in their lives. So they're going to make these new fitness mirrors. So look forward to that, everybody. It's going to be very exciting. But if you are...
It's really giving Black Mirror.
Yeah, if you live on your own and you you don't have any friends and you've never actually been able to join a gym because you're afraid that people will point and laugh, then this is for you, the high-tech mirror. How exciting. Aren't you pleased?
And no one points and laugh at the gym.
I've never seen like anyone point and laugh. Exactly.
Hey, they do. They just don't laugh in the moment they record you. Then they post it on social media and you go viral for using the freaking machine wrong. Then you're completely screwed.
Are you allowed to just record people without permission and then put them on social media? Jeez. I don't think so.
The things that happen in gyms.
I think if you do that, that's not allowed. So Gauteng's municipalities are owed 79.4 billion rand. That's from Lebohang Maile. According to Gauteng Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, MEC, the province's municipalities are owed 79.4 billion rand. That is owed the majority of it by household consumers. And this covers only the period categorized over 90 days. So I was under the impression that if you owe a municipality money, they cut off your electricity. That's what happens to me. I mean, if I don't pay my electricity, it gets cut off. How about you?
You don't stay in Soweto, Gareth. They riot and burn stuff. So you don't cut off.
Oh, so what you've got to do is you must riot and burn stuff.
You must riot and burn stuff. You must destroy government property for not paying the government.
Oh.
Commit more crimes to cover up your crime.
I knew I was doing something wrong. That's so dumb. How dumb of me.
You're just doing the one crime. You need to do all the crimes. And then there's no crime.
Damn it. That's so dumb. All right. And then Twitter has kicked off deal negotiations with Elon Musk after he wooed many of the social media company's shareholders with financing details on his $43 billion acquisition. People familiar with the matter said the company's decision to engage with Musk, taken earlier on Sunday, does not mean that it will accept his $54.20 per share bid, but it does signify that Twitter is now exploring whether the sale of the company to Musk is possible on attractive terms. So we will see what happens. And we talked about that a little bit in the first hour of this morning's show, or the first half hour of this morning's show. All right, it is time to turn our attention to someone who's been doing absolutely incredible things for years now. There is a new element to what she's going to be doing. She's going to be doing something called the Rainbow Nation Blanket of Hope. And there's an event taking place. It's part of 67 Blankets for Nelson Mandela Day, which, of course, is on July the 18th every year. This started off, and we remember, if you've listened to the show before and you've met Carolyn before, you'll remember the story she tells about how she was sitting with some people and wondering what she should do for Nelson Mandela Day. And she got an idea in her head that she wanted to crochet a blanket. And then before you knew it, she had a whole lot of her friends doing it. And before she knew it, she had thousands of people across the country doing it. She's had prisoners doing it. She's had people everywhere in South Africa contributing. It's become a massive, massive world-famous campaign. She joins us this morning. Carolyn Steyn, it is so good to see you. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hang on. I need to cut you off from one of these. Just let me kick the one. Hang on. There we go. Try now.
I can.
Oh, we can hear you now. Okay, good.
I can't see you at all. Can you see me?
I can see you, and we can hear you.
Okay, so shall we keep it like that then?
I think so. I'm not sure why. We had two screens with you on it. I'm not sure what was going on there, but it's perfect now. Okay. So Carolyn, can you hear me properly enough to answer the questions?
I can hear you properly, and I'm glad you can hear me properly. I just can't see you. Unfortunately, you're so good looking.
So let me just start off by congratulating you. You received a very great honor from the French government the other day, in part because of the work that you've done here with 67 Blankets. You're also a massive supporter of French culture in South Africa, which most people, I don't think, know about you. But congrats on that. Another honor and accolade, which is richly deserved for all the incredible work that you've been doing. But I think for people who don't know any of this, the 67 blankets story is such a lovely story, and it just keeps evolving. And you've got a new chapter evolving very, very soon with the Rainbow Nation Blanket of Hope, right?
Absolutely. You know, we've been going for 8 years.
Wow.
We're celebrating our 9th birthday next year. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it was 8 years ago I sat in your studio crocheting, which I'm still doing, Gareth.
And you gave me a knitting needle.
I did. Did you do something with it?
I don't even know where I put it, Carolyn, but
it's still in the studio.
I never learned to crochet or to knit. I'm sorry. I'm very disappointing.
There's always time. So, Gareth, I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about this morning, but I thought, let me just haul out of the safe.
Yes, there is the award. That's the award. That is an extraordinary award that you actually got that from President Macron of France, right? And the ambassador in South Africa, Monsieur Le Chevalier, gave it to you at a very special ceremony. You spoke beautiful French, which I knew you could do, but to hear you do your entire speech in French was incredible. Tell everybody what this meant to you, because I was at the ceremony and I explained it on the show the next day, and people were really curious about what it was.
Well, you know, I've been studying French for a while. I used to write in my New Year's resolutions in my diary every year, you know, find more work as an actress, find a boyfriend, find a new apartment, buy a car that works, find a husband, learn French, and just learn French. You know, I ticked off all the other things, but the French thing was, you know, pure laziness, not having for 10 years. Uh-huh. And then on that day, I said, if I don't make this call now, I'm not going to write this in my diary anymore. So 10 years ago, I started with a lovely lady called Jeanine Perret through the Alliance Française. And, you know, I couldn't put a sentence together. Now I've got 4 teachers on Zoom every week. And, you know, I've improved. So the ambassador, Monsieur Aurélien Le Chevalier, was quite impressed, I think.
Yeah.
my husband's very impressed. You know, I practice that speech forever, every day. So please, can I practice again, you know, and then he'd be Monsieur Aurélien Le Chevalier, and that person would be Dina Gonzalez from JP High School for Girls. And finally, you know, after weeks, Doe would say, No more. But it was a very emotional day. I mean, sitting there, standing there in front of, you know, my friends, you included, was a very, very emotional experience for me. The enormity of this incredible award being bestowed upon me 6 months before I received a call from the ambassador. And I'm thinking, you know, why is the ambassador of France phoning me? Mm-hmm. And he called me then. It was a very emotional call for him, because the French president, the night before, had signed a decree to bestow upon me this award, the Chevalier de l'Ordre National du Mérite, the National Order, the Knight of the French National Order of Merit. So it's huge. And, you know, I'm a normal girl. I come from Kensington, JP High School for Girls.
Yeah.
My mom grew up in an orphanage. My father was an electrician. We didn't have, you know, these things were not even known in our home. So,
well, it's a beautiful
story.
It's a beautiful story, and you did cry a little bit, and you had your sisters there, which is really special. No, it's great to see also that foreign governments, and I think this is a nice thing that we as South Africans can be very proud of, is that there are other people paying attention, not just our own government, who also occasionally give out awards to very deserving people. And we know that there are lots and lots of people in South Africa who appreciate the cultural and the philanthropic work that you do. But just to go back to that for a minute, because part of this is also that you've become this person who's, you know, you're the blanket lady. That's what people call you.
That's true. And I quite like it. I even got a sash, you know, Bridget van Ulle and her daughter Kia bought me the sash, Mrs. Blanket.
So what is actually happening? What's the occasion, the event for this Rainbow Nation Blanket of Hope? What is that?
Well, as you know, Gareth, we've gone through a terrible, terrible 2 years of COVID. And so we thought, how does 67 blankets, you know, acknowledge the great work that has been done by our frontline workers?
Mm-hmm.
Aha, we will create the Rainbow Nation Blanket of Hope. So thousands of blankets are being made as we speak.
Right.
They are being brought by Stutterford Van Lines as we speak.
Hmm.
I think Port Elizabeth, Gqeberha yesterday, they picked up, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of blankets from Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, Bloemfontein, all over, White River, Pumalanga. The blankets are being brought currently to Steyn City, to our garage, where we are labeling them. Every blanket gets a silk label, 67 blankets for Nelson Mandela Day. They get a tag number so we know where the blanket has come from and who the beneficiary will be or which organization. But what we're doing is, and it's very, very exciting, we're working in conjunction, in partnership, holding hands with Gift of the Givers. So Dr. Imtiaz Suman will be there. We're crossing fingers. You know, he's a busy, busy man.
Sure.
Well, certainly there'll be a lot of representation from Gift of the Givers. So all the blankets, thousands of blankets that are going to be laid out at Steyn City School on the 11th of May, early hours, and you're good at early hours. And it's going to be just spectacular. We've got the Mzansi Youth Choir performing. Nice. P-Day Powers, naturally. And some incredible young talent. And, yeah, so Gift of the Givers. And let me not forget, Doctors Without Borders. So in this event, we are going to be
Said in French, Médecins Sans Frontières, right?
Very good, Gareth. Médecins Sans Frontières. Exactement.
So,
excellent.
So Carolyn, Gift of the Givers have really come to the fore with all of these floods in KZN. And I think a lot of people forget that when it gets cold in South Africa, not everybody has a heater or a furry blanket that Lebang and Bagabantu and I were talking about just a moment ago. Some people are obviously struggling. So the blankets themselves go to a good cause, but you also obviously raise awareness and you raise money. And there's a tremendous machine that works behind the scenes. And I know you've got Yaku on your team, who's excellent at administering all of this. How many people?
Mr. Blanket.
So how many people? Yeah. How many people are involved in a 67 blankets on an average day in South Africa? How many people are actually sitting there knitting? Because it's a massive undertaking.
Oh gosh, you know, Gareth, I've got no idea. I just know when I come across people. I mean, I met someone in the hospital the other day. I was visiting someone, and she said, "I know you. I make blankets for you."
Wow.
So there are a lot of schools, you know, my school, Jeffy High School for Girls, they make hundreds of blankets every year. They've contributed thousands. They've contributed to Guinness World Records. We have 4 Guinness World Records, by the way, as 67 blankets for Nelson Mandela Day, which is extraordinary. We don't have any more records to go for, unfortunately, unless I start doing acrobatics. So the day is going to be really, really wonderful. It's going to be very exciting. I'm just so proud that we are working in conjunction with Médecins Sans Frontières and Gift of the Givers. You know, I applaud, as we all do, the work that they do. They are
terrific.
Just,
you know, if you could measure goodwill, I think the fact that those guys, and you mentioned Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, I mean, the fact that they are an organization that just whenever there's need, they just raise their hand and they're there. They're there distributing water, distributing food, helping people who are homeless, helping people who are absolutely desperate because everything has been washed away or because, you know, there have been shack fires. Wherever in South Africa we need them, they seem to be our real Department of Social Welfare. And good for you guys that you're getting involved with them, because I don't think there are many South Africans who wouldn't want to see Gift of the Givers getting a little bit of help from people like you and 67 Blankets. Well, listen, Carolyn, it's always good to catch up with you. I know that you have not been out and about as much during COVID. You've been very, very careful. And I know also that it's been a little bit frustrating for you and for many people like you and I who, you know, want to get out there and do things. So it was very special to see you the other day. I'm glad that there's this event happening, and it's happening in Stain City, and you guys are putting out this blanket. It's going to be another amazing and tremendous event, which obviously will bring about a whole lot of good in its wake. So please keep doing the good work you're doing. We need this to happen.
Thank you. If I can say one more thing, if sure. people want to come to the event, you know, we're allowed to have people now.
Yes.
You can go to info@67blankets.co.za. Yaku will be on the other end. Linton will be on the other end of the email. And, you know, people do need to be vaccinated. That's one of the rules. And, we are doing exceptional things in this country, and I'm so proud. I just want to say again, working with Gift of the Givers, all those blankets will go to Gift of the Givers,
right,
who go into places that we can't reach.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, terrific to see you, and I hope we'll see you again soon. Good luck for the event.
Thanks, guys.
Really great work.
Awesome
great
stuff.
Great work. Thanks, Carolyn.
Thanks, Carolyn. Bye-bye. Good Bye. Stuff. Bye. Bye-bye. There's Carolyn Stain, everybody, and 67 Blankets. And now she's also a recipient of the National Order of Merit. She's a knight, a French knight. Isn't that cool?
Hectic.
French, like, French is the best language ever. I just discovered that now.
Are you going to? Are
it
you going
sounds
to,
so cool.
If you want to make Carolyn really happy, you should learn French. It's so easy to do, man. You know, you go along. Oh, it's not easy to learn a language. I'll take that back. But it is easy to learn French in South Africa. There is this amazing organization, it's been around for hundreds of years now, called the Alliance Française, and they will teach you how to speak French beautifully. And you can do it in your spare time. It doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. You get to hear and interact with French people every day, which is how you get good at a language. And you know what? We've got so many people who are so talented with language in South Africa.
Omelette de fromage.
Oh, you
croissant. Know, yeah, cheese omelette, croissant.
This is you, Lebun. That's great.
Come All on. Right. Come on.
Very good. When we come back, we'll be talking, among other things, to Dr. Reza Mia about his Pegasus Universal Aerospace project and the new movie called The Lost City, which is not about Sun City. It's a Sarah Bullock and who else is in that movie? Channing Tatum.
Tatum.
Yeah. Tatum. Brad Pitt.
And Brad
is in
Pitt.
It. Yes.
Yeah.
And Daniel Radcliffe as well. So it's a big movie. We'll find out what the Lost City has to do with Dr. Reza Mia and his project. All of that on the way. We want to hear from you, and you can get hold of us on the comments on the YouTubes or contact@cliffcentral.com. All the info on Carolyn and all our other guests will be posted on cliffcentral.com too. So if you've missed anything, go and check it out on the site. Back in a second.
CliffCentral.com.